The Diary of Sidney Thomas Albert Flynn. Preface. It is some years since I first wished to keep a diary. My one great drawback to starting is that I've heard that, although the commencement is not so bad, to keep the journal going for more than 2 or 3 months is very hard. The beginning is generally profuse in its wording, but after a week or two, the entries become wider apart and less verbose until there is a standstill. But in making this bold decision to start one, I shall bear in mind the fact that a diary need not necessarily be kept from day to day. Indeed, one might go almost for more than a week without an entry. I hope to be able to give any reader of these notes some idea of my character, habits, etc., merely by the tone of my writings. I shall censor all entries so that they may be fit for publication without any curtailment or omission. No secret private matter will be entered, but sufficient private detail to show the main principles of keeping this diary. I shall not talk shop, but shall relate any suitable anecdotes as they occur dealing with any individuals engaged in my line of business. If ever I am imbued with politics, which seems unlikely enough at present, I shall give my opinions freely, as such things are very useful afterwards, both to myself and to any would-be blackmailers. I shall also give details of my hobbies, such as wireless, reading, etc., so as to give others some idea of my interests and for future reference to me. I shall also try to dispel the misconception that the weather is always worse now than ever before. Not that I shall write, "The weather is wet," or fine every day that the journal is kept, but shall record the details of the more important and exceptional weather conditions and changes. I think I have now dealt with all the principles of this diary, which begins, as will be seen, on the first day of January 1932, which is a date well known for the passing of resolutions. Let's hope this one will be profitable and successful. Sidney Thomas Albert Flynn, 142 Kingsland Road, Plaistow, London, E13. 1st of January 1932. Well, I was beginning to realise that the commencement of this business was going to be awkward, but I now have ample matter to write about. To begin with, after a period of excessive cold, the weather has suddenly changed to a very mild state. Also, I have begun the new year well, I don't think. This afternoon, I went to pay the income tax of one of the clerks at the office, who will hereinafter be called B, and it was decided that I should bring back with me the receipt and some change. I had previously been to pay the income tax of the office manager, hereinafter termed OM, at the same place. Now, when I reached the income tax man's abode, I found outside the almost closed door several men talking, one of whom carried a bundle of cheques, and another was what seemed to be the chief man there on the previous occasion I visited the building. After waiting for a minute, the latter gentleman took the envelope I was holding and said, "I'll send the receipt on," at which I replied, "All right," and forgetting all about the change, I vamoosed. When I told these things to B, he did not seem pleased. I wonder why. Later on, P had in his office the caretaker's cat, and while I was there, said he would call the owner to fetch it, but told me not to touch it as it would scratch. While he was gone, the cat, a very nervous one, rushed round the room and tried to get out of the closed window. I, who cannot bear to see animals worried, immediately opened the window, whereupon the feline skedaddled into oblivion. When P returned, he was none too pleased because he said the cat had been a nuisance in his office for some time past, and he, P, had thought it a good opportunity to let the caretaker see the cat there, all of which was news to me. Let's hope tomorrow will be better. 4th of January 1932. Went along to the income tax office to collect the change and receipt for B. Glad this matter is settled. Went to the premiere to see The Ghost Train, about the best British film I have seen, and marvellous acting by Jack Hulbert, Cicely Courtnage and Donald Calthrop, to say nothing of the actress who took the part of Julia, whose real name I do not know. a well-proportioned film, the only exaggeration being the free fight towards the end, which was a little too prolonged. The talkie version was much nearer to the play as regards sequence and dialogue than the silent. The companion picture, Transatlantic, was also very good and well acted. 5th of January 1932. Heard a very good play by L. Dugard Peach called Love One Another, about a scientist who discovers a ray which obliterates all hate throughout the world, and the chaos which naturally followed. A very well thought out work. This play by radio. George came over this evening and we mucked about with the mic. He invited me to go with him to South Kensington to see the telephone exhibition, and we have arranged to meet in the booking office at South Kensington Station as soon after 1 o'clock as I can get there. He also brought over his trickle charger to be changed as the silver oxide rectifier has conked. Expect I shall have to get one of the new ones for him, so he has lent me the sum of 4 shillings to go on with. 7th of January 1932. Yesterday evening, I was caught in a cloudburst coming home from Upton Park, with the result that I was too late to go to evening classes, and my clothes are so wet that I have had to wear a mac that is too short for me, and my old grey trousers today. Helped Mum knit the intricate pattern of my new jumper. 8th of January 1932. When I left home this morning, there was no sign of mist, but there was a sharp nip in the air. At Upton Park, it was clear, but at Plaistow, there was a rather thick blue fog. I don't think I have seen such a beautiful Cambridge blue around as the colour of that fog. It was only a small patch. It was clear at West Ham, but was so thick further on that the gas holders at the riverbank could not be seen from the railway. So cold this morning, I had my gas fire full on. Went straight from work to night school, and as usual, was very tired throughout the lesson. French. 9th of January 1932. Met George at South Kensington Station, and after having lunch at Lyons, went to the telephone exhibition being held in the India section of the Victoria and Albert Museum. A very good exhibition whereat I learnt much. We left this place at about 7 o'clock and walked to Oxford Circus with an idea of seeing the exhibition of models at Regent Street. But as we were tired and it was about 8:30, we contented ourselves with a walk round Broadcasting House in Langham Place and caught the bus to Aldgate, where we parted at about 9:15. I arrived home at 10 o'clock to find that Mum and Dad had gone to Uncle Sid's and had not yet arrived, but they were not long following. 11th of January 1932. Weather continues showery. Train was packed from Aldgate East tonight. Relay from New York on radio tonight, nearly all groaning and yelling jazz. Listened to about 2 items before switching off. 12th of January 1932. Train was not very crowded, but took over half an hour from Bromley to Upton Park. It stopped 2 or 3 times between each station and stood about 3 minutes in each station. This made me late for night school. Maths 1. We took logs and were trying to go on to the plotting of functions, but there was no time. We have extra work to go through each evening now, as the term is so short. Easter comes early this year. 13th of January 1932. Reached night school in time to get both hours. The discussion tonight, English, was on the future of the British colonies. I had to lug 5 books to and from the tech. I had a beautiful walk home. The wind, which had been very gusty of late, dwindled down to a mere breeze. There was a cloudless sky, although the moon was rather big. You could almost see every star in the cluster in Orion's Club. My feet have started giving trouble again. They seem to have commenced on Lord Mayor's show day when I went to see the show. Perhaps the unused walking started it, but I should not think so, seeing all the tramping I do in the summer. The eczema spots on my forearms are still irritating, though that on my left arm seems to have diminished in size. 14th of January 1932. Changed my library book, Gilded Age by Mark Twain, for Control by E. Snell. This is a very exciting tale with an impossible plot. 15th of January 1932. I remarked that in the preface I said I would not keep this journal from day to day. That is true. Although so far the dates are consecutive, I generally write the day's entry on the following day, but sometimes I get tired of the practice and leave it for a day or two. Thus, this present entry is being written on the 18th of January 1932. Attended French tonight. Nothing unusual. 16th of January 1932. Went with Mum to the library and got Practical Telephone Handbook by Jay Poole. Very interesting. And J. Verne's The Begum's Millions, Tribulations of a Chinaman in China, and The Giant Raft, Part 1. 18th of January 1932. Met Mum at Upton Park and went to the Rego to be measured for another blue suit, £2.05. Listened to vaudeville from London region. Rotten. Retired at 9 o'clock and listened in bed to a play called Rope. Tripe. 19th of January 1932. Attended night school tonight and took the preliminaries of the plotting of functions. Memo. Take graph paper next week. 20th of January 1932. Very dark this morning, occasioned by a sky fog up to about 11 a.m. Attended English tonight, various lectures including Kings and Queens of Britain from Charles I to George I. Must get on with my reading before the exam. This book of A.E. Poe is a thriller. Much colder tonight and misty, so did not walk home. 21st of January 1932. Broke the Howard Brothers ever sharp propelling pencil this morning, so I'll have to go down to Woolworths and get a new pencil. Having not heard the alarm, I got up late this morning, so had to have my dinner out at the fish shop. Remembered to go to the dairy, which closes at 1300, for my milk, but forgot to go to Woolworths. Must go to the latter tomorrow. Listen this evening to The History of the Theme Song, being a selection of theme songs from the talkies, from The Singing Fool to the present time. Beat Dad at Russian Patience and twice at Cribbage. In the last game, I got the highest score I ever remember to have had, viz. 26. I held 9-6-6-6, and the turn-up was 9. By the way, a very curious thing happened this evening. I went to sleep on the train and woke up just as we passed out of a station. I took this to be Upton Park, as there was a programme bill there for the New Berlin, a very local cinema. Moreover, in my half-awake attitude, I did not recognise any of the line after that station. And as we stopped for about half a minute between it and the next, I became quite nonplussed as to where I could be. We rolled into the next station, where we found it was Upton Park. 22nd of January 1932. Forgot in my hurry this morning to put my library book into the bag, so had to be content with reading Grammaire Française. I have, however, the telephone book at the office, which will keep me quiet during the lunch hour. Rang George up this afternoon about going over to his place on Sunday. Okay with him. Memo, take telephone book and mic. New button to be fixed to mic and tested. French tonight. Not as tired as generally. Arrived home in time to hear the bulk of the national lecture. Had a game of cribbage and a Russian patience with Dad. He beat me hollow both times. 23rd of January 1932. Was awakened this morning by a row which reminded me of earthquakes and tempests. It proved to be the buzzer in my bedroom cupboard, which Dad had fixed up again, collaring one of my rotary switch arms in the process. Went to South Kensington. There are several new models there. The last day of the telephone exhibition. Gleaned much about storing of numbers and decoding, etc. on autos. 27th of January 1932. Weather continues very cold. Attended English tonight. Lectures including the present crisis and why it came about. And all our present trouble seems to boil down to the fact that our moral education has not kept pace with the growth of scientific discovery, so that we use these new methods wrongly and in such a manner as will not benefit mankind generally. Played and lost a game of Russian patience with Dad. Memo. I believe I did not record what might have great results with regard to my future. An occurrence on Friday last, 22nd of January 1932. The chaps at the office have all resolved to put money in the national savings, so I had to toddle around to the post office for sundry sixpence stamp books. Seeing that I have already several certificates, methinks I will purchase some of these stamps for myself. As I am now saving up for my holiday, I do not think it could be worse if I put part of my money away in the post office savings bank, as it can be withdrawn easily and at any post office. So I shall try to put equal amounts away in each week from now on. There has been a dreadful disaster this week. The submarine M2 sank somewhere between Devonport to Portsmouth. It appears she was detailed to go from Devonport to Portsmouth after exercises at the former, and since then has been missing. All searches upon the part of the naval authorities have been fruitless so far. There were 60 men on board her. 29th of January 1932. Attended evening classes as usual, with usual result. Fatigue. Arrived home in time to hear Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew by radio. Very good acting. Heard most of it in bed. 30th of January 1932. Renewed E.A. Poe's Tales at Marylebone Library this morning, as I have not read them all yet. Had an unpleasant shock this afternoon. I generally get my workman's ticket the evening before, or, in the case of a weekend, on the Saturday before. Today there was a notice on the booking office to the effect that all workmen's trains will, in future, finish at 7:30 sharp. This cryptic message would seemingly mean that no possibility exists in future of getting through the barrier up to 8 o'clock or 8:05. No, the ticket collector told me. You can get a 3 halfpenny ticket if you like. You'll only have to pay the other end. Curses loud and deep.